alienated, resigned, upset, angry, denigrated, all of them perhaps at once. Every time I look at the sitter's facial expression, I can't help but feeling a bit puzzled by it. What is he trying to tell us? Or rather, what is the artist trying to tell us about her? Many interpretations are possible, and one could argue that the sketchy character and fast execution may contribute to its ambiguity. But I know from research that the artist Filmay had the ability to convey complex emotions in a few lines and in a matter of seconds, and I'm pretty convinced that he had researched every stroke of the sketch repeatedly until he got the results he wanted, as he usually did with other types of work. So for me, every inclusion and every omission in this portrait is deliberate. I've spent many hours trying to shed light on the sitter's identity, but sadly, none of my lines of inquiry have been conclusive. I thought perhaps the different elements of the costume could offer some clues. But following extensive consultation with costume curators at both Leeds Museums and Galleries and the V&A, and several music hall and seaside entertainment experts, it seems unlikely she was a clown because of the hat, nor a cakewalk or minstrelsy performer because of the ruff. Perhaps a theatrical performer. The research I've done on the lineup of artists who performed the same day the drawing was made in Mr. Hugo Gorlitz's popular London Ballad Concert Party, as it was called, suggests they were all white, and the idea that she may have been a member of the public Filmay could have selected on the day also seems unlikely, given that black people were generally unwelcome in this type of events, which were very much designed for white audiences. Could she have simply been someone the artist saw in the street passing either in the UK, America, Australia or the Netherlands, and whose features have been exaggerated for satirical purposes? We know, for instance, that wide-brimmed hats didn't become fashionable in Britain until a few years later during the Edwardian period. This leads me to another question. Is she even real? Or the product of Filmay's imagination designed to fulfill a narrative? I stayed with this idea for a while, but I decided that regardless, it'll be interesting to consider who she could have been, and more importantly, what could have been her experience as a black woman in the late 19th, early 20th century. Also, I'm particularly interested in exploring what this portrait means in its socio-historical context from a racial point of view. It's not trivial that she is black, and it was done in a very particular point in time and context in front of a very particular audience, which allows us to raise issues of racism and prejudice and political imperialist agendas. Firstly, to me, even if the concert in which this work was produced was a charity event, it was very much in the context of music hall and minstrelsy shows at the time. As a case in point, the programme of the popular London Ballad Concert Party started with some opera-type music but included a song called My Juliet, a Shakespearean coon song, which was very much in the tradition of minstrel songs. Blackface minstrelsy first came to Britain in the 1830s and remained part of British stage culture up to the 1980s. This is the culture that made not just acceptable for most people, but very common and part of everyday life to listen to overtly racist songs and view offensive cartoons and performances of black people, but also even setting up human zoos in great exhibitions, all of which stereotyped, ridiculed, denigrated and offered offensive grotesque caricatures of black people during the Victorian period and beyond. Africa was also linked to a spectacle on various levels and attracted much attention in the media and as a theme in various forms of entertainment because of its perceived exoticism. But this interest should also be read in the context of scientific racism, which believed in the hierarchies of races, which alongside the stereotypes fueled by the media and the mentioned popular forms of entertainment, presented black people as stupid, lazy, childish, savage, greedy, superstitious, happy-go-lucky, and especially inferior. It was all part of a powerful imperialist propaganda, which legitimized the exploitation and colonization of the continent and its people as it happened in 1984 at the Berlin Conference, also known as the Scramble of Africa, in which European powers distributed the control over the vast majority of the continent. Paradoxically, despite black people being quite present in everyday culture, many British people at the time would have not met a black individual in person. Unlike during the trade in slave people of the 17th and 18th centuries, when the numbers of black people were quite large, the black population in Victorian and Edwardian Britain was relatively small and mainly concentrated in London and a handful of port towns. Black communities were largely made up of people from the West Indies, North America, or Sierra Leone. Most were ordinary people, like seamen or servants, that lived very hard lives. Although some managed to overcome prevalent sociocultural barriers and succeeded within certain British institutions like the church, university, or the army, or in the performing arts sector, to mention just a few. What many members of these communities also had in common is that inevitably they had to endure and challenge empire to thrive, and their contributions to the political tradition known as Pan-Africanism, which would later inspire freedom movements all over Africa and the Caribbean, were huge. Interestingly, the first Pan-African conference was held in London in 1900, just a year before this drawing was made. But what was life like for a black woman in Britain at the beginning of the century? Sadly, it's very difficult to answer this question, as there are very few studies with a focus on black women in late Victorian England. But we can be certain of one thing: it must have been tough. It is true that black history in Britain is shaped by migration, and the vast majority of those who migrated at the time were men. But of course, black women had to fight a double battle not to be forgotten and to make their way in the world, that of race and that of gender. However, research shows that a significant number of black women arrived in Britain during that period, and several of them were active in society. As for our sitter, it's highly likely she had no agency at all in this portrait. Whether she was a real person or not, for me she epitomizes what many other black women who did exist experienced for centuries: the pain of witnessing and enduring racial injustice and prejudice, right in front of them, sometimes even whilst white people were having a good time and feeling good about themselves in charity events. Loves and sorrow, two sides of the same story. Hopefully never again.